You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome in again, MLB.com Extras, the American League West edition, where we are watching the best race in baseball. The Astros and Rangers continuing to battle it out. Huge series in Houston this weekend. The Angels just trying to stay alive. There's optimism everywhere in Seattle. And in Oakland, Vito Hudson, perhaps this weekend. We hope so. We'll look for that and more this week. American League West edition, MLB.com Extras.
What a wild swing this last week. There were the four devastating games in Arlington, but this team has shown incredible doggedness coming back and playing really well at home. I don't know which to concentrate on. I guess if you'd ask, or if you want to concentrate on the way this team bounces back.
Yeah. And then they come home and lose the first game, and I was starting to think, they could really be in trouble right here. And then midway through Saturday's game, they're losing, and Evan Gattis, it was a 3-run home run, and they win that game, and they win Sunday, and they win Monday, and they're back to doing what they do. And it's just amazing to me how much better they look at home. And I can't put my finger on it. I know they deal in a lot of analytics and information in the front office, and maybe they have some better ideas. But the last couple of games, the first game against the Angels and the last game against the A's, are just textbook Astros. Just good pitching. I mean, really good pitching for 7-8 innings, and then they hit 2 or 3 home runs and maybe scratch another run across somewhere, and that's it. I mean, it's no secret what they do, and for some reason they just can't do that on the road. They can't hit. The pitching wasn't as good, especially in Arlington. So it comes to this 3-game winning streak they won comes at the right time, because they've only got now 5 home games left, and they really need to make some hay here at home, because they do finish on the road, and they're going to have to win some of those games.
I mean, they're still very much in a situation where, obviously they're in a wild card spot now, but that could slip away. They're in a position where they could win this division, and I know that their targets have to be set on the Rangers, right?
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, it's just so much better if you win your division, just because you go to the series. I mean, you win the wild card and it's down to the one game, and they're probably going to have to play that game on the road, which we know is a problem. Although they took 2 or 3 from the Yankees, because right now they would play the wild card game at Yankee Stadium. But they're only a game behind the Rangers as we speak, and they have the Rangers at Minute Maid Park this weekend. So that could be the series to decide the AL West. But like I said earlier, the Rangers closed their season at home. The Astros closed the final week on the road. So, if the Astros even have a game lead over the Rangers heading into that last week, it's going to be pretty tenuous, just considering the schedules of the two teams. So best case scenario, the Astros maybe can sweep the Rangers and get a 2 or 3-game cushion. I don't see that happening. I think this is going to go right down to the wire. I do think the Astros will make the playoffs. I think it'll be the wild card, but obviously they're only a game behind the Rangers, so anything's possible.
Yeah, but it is going to be a wild finish. How do you figure the 4-game series in Texas will play in this weekend when they come to Houston? I was following you on Twitter pretty closely, and it seemed like a daily occurrence where I would read a tweet from you where Rangers have just punched the Astros in the mouth again. And they did, right? They didn't just win those games. Some of those games were laughers, so to speak. So how much of that do you think rolls over into this series this weekend?
Well, they outscored the Astros 33-13, and they roughed up the two best pitchers. But I don't think a lot will spill over, just because the Astros are at home. And for whatever reason, things are different when they're at Minute Maid. I think we're going to get some huge crowds behind the Astros, and they're going to face some of the same pitchers playing the Angels here to start the week, and the Rangers, some of the same pitchers they faced on the road last week, and they already did. Jeff Weaver, who's given them fits, and they beat him in game one against the Angels, so that just kind of goes to show you the difference and how much more comfortable they are at home. And it's going to be a great series. The last 3 home games of the year, a very interesting series, and I'm really looking forward to it.
I haven't done the math. Which game will Dallas Keuchel pitch? He's got to pitch one of those games, right?
Yeah, he's going to pitch Sunday, so he'll pitch the series finale. That'll give him a chance to go 15-0 at home, which would just be absolutely remarkable. He's already the first pitcher in history to go 14-0 at home, so he has a chance to finish off a perfect home schedule against a Rangers team that really destroyed him last time out in Arlington. So, and then Dallas would have one more start remaining on the road. I would guess it would be the final weekend of the season in Arizona. So he's got a chance at 20 wins with two starts left. And if he pitches on that Friday, maybe they could obviously he would line up to start game one of a series. I don't know if they could bring him back if they have to play in that. I guess they could bring him back if they have to play in the wild card game. But I'm sure Dallas is really going to be fired up for his start on Sunday, considering what happened the last time he faced the Rangers. And he looked pretty good on Monday night. He looked like the Keuchel of old.
Had to feel very good about that homestand. That four-game sweep of the Astros, the series you called the biggest in the history of the ballpark, probably could not have gone any better than it did.
No, they swept them, and they played well. They won the first two. They were both close games. You know, they had the big home run from Prince Fielder. Hamels pitched really well. The bullpen was great. And then they just kind of blew them out the last two nights. And, it was just everything went well for the Rangers. It was a huge series for them. But then they come back and they lose two out of three to Oakland. To Seattle. So that was a little bit of a setback. But so, they've got to play well this week in Oakland. They've got three against Oakland, and they go to Houston for three. This is a big road trip now. They got a one-game lead in the standings. They have to play well. The Astros series was huge, but still, 13 games left, and, nothing's clinched yet.
Well, for sure, and those three in Houston do loom large because the Astros, are still within that range where, if they turn the tables in a similar fashion, they could push themselves right back past the Rangers. But was there anything that you thought came of that series? Because it has been this season, it has been the Rangers series in general, and I almost wonder if that really sort of was, sticking the flag on the top of the mountain last week, if you feel like the dominance or at the very least, an advantage is certainly on the side of the Rangers. Do they feel like they're in control of that head-to-head matchup now?
Well, they obviously have played well against the Astros, and that will give them confidence going into the weekend. But, they haven't played well against the Mariners. They haven't played well against Oakland. And like you said, things can turn quickly. You got to like the Astros. You love Springer, Correa, and Altuve at the top of the lineup. McHugh and Keuchel are the two starters heading the rotation. Kazmir, young kid McCullers. Houston still has a very good ball club, and teams play well against another team, but the things can change quickly, especially the pennant race. So Rangers still have to play well here at the end.
You wrote a piece about Fielder and Beltre, and the two of them have just been feeding off one another lately, it seems like. Can you recall a tandem like that in recent years that you might compare them to?
No, well, Josh Hamilton and Nelson Cruz are pretty good 1-2 for the Rangers. This Rangers team doesn't have the offensive depth and firepower that they had in 2010, 2011. They just can't go out and crush the opposition, Dave. So what they have to do is they really need Beltre and Fielder to hold up their end because they're the two big bats in the middle of the lineup. They put Napoli in left field to kind of add some offensive firepower, and Moreland's had a great season. And it's kind of stretched out the lineup a little bit. But still, Fielder and Beltre are the two main guys. And, of course, Shinsu Chu's had a tremendous second half, unbelievable second half. But, Beltre and Fielder in the middle of the lineup, they're the two big boys that really have to produce.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Chu because he has been borderline ridiculous with what he's been able to do in this second half. And I, setting the table, however you want to think of it. But I mean, even in September, we're talking almost 60% of the time getting on base. I think we want to look at the home runs. You want to see the ball flying all over the yard, but really, Chu might be a bigger key to this whole thing than anybody.
Well, Dave, he's had the best second half of anybody, that's for sure. You've got to remember, when we started the second half, there was some doubt whether he would be a full-time player again or move into a part-time role, but then when he hit that cycle in Colorado, he just kind of took off from there. And he's just been outstanding. I mean, you know, the Shields kind of slowed down a little bit here in the second half. You know, this is his first full season, and it's a tough grind on him. And, you know, he kind of carried the Rangers top of the order early in the season, and now Chu's doing it in the second half.
It's a little like Groundhog's Day for me, because I feel like I'm going to open with the same sort of concept with you, which is, are they in or are they out already? What is going on?
Dave, I've struggled with that question for the last 4 weeks, I want to say. Every time that you think the death nail is going to be put in the proverbial coffin, the Angels give you reason to believe again. And then every time you have reason to believe, they lose a critical game, and now you start thinking that they can, and then you just repeat the cycle over and over again. You know, I guess the important thing is that we're into the last 2 weeks of the season, and they're still in a race. They still have a somewhat legitimate chance of making it to the postseason. You know, they won 3 out of 4 in Minnesota, which was huge. And, you know, they lost the opener in Houston on Monday, and they kind of put themselves in the situation where they got to win on Tuesday and Wednesday. They pretty much have to win that series against the Astros. You know, I think there's still some belief in that clubhouse, simply because they have those games against the Astros. They finish off the year with 4 games against the Rangers, and because, you know, Texas does come into Houston to play the Astros, so they're kind of hoping that the Rangers could, you know, help them out a little bit. But, you know, it's still a long shot, obviously. And the Angels still don't score as much runs to inspire a whole lot of hope. They kind of have to win really close games. There's not much margin for error. And, you know, I don't think they would really say this publicly, but I think a lot of guys in that clubhouse are still a bit haunted by that loss against the Astros 2 Sundays ago. If you remember, Angels led 3-0 with 1 strike left, and they gave up 5 runs. And that was a huge 2-game swing. And, you know, you hate to put so much on one game when they play 162 out of them. But that one game, I think, could have changed a whole lot about where they are right now. And, you know, if they come up short, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I think at the end of the year they're going to lament on a month of August when they lost 19 games. And I think they're also going to lament on that Sunday loss against the Astros at home.
Yeah. You know, look, I agree with you. I think they're not just games, but then there are those moments in a game where oftentimes you can go back and you can say, hey, that's where it turned. That's where we took off, and I knew we were going to win. Or the opposite. And it may well be that Sunday is that case. You know, you said something else in that answer about having to win close games. You know, the offense just is not inspiring a lot of confidence. They don't score a lot. You have to win close games. And Joe Smith, you know, slips down some stairs and busts up his ankle. I mean, what? You know, that when you got to win close games, that setup guy's a big dude. And it just seems like that kind of a year, right? Snake bitten, whatever you want to call it. But that's the type of thing that sort of can't happen.
Yeah, it's really weird. And, you know, I didn't make the trip to Minnesota with the team, but, you know, just reading from what was going on there, you know, the Angels won the opener on Thursday. Friday's game got rained out, and then they played a doubleheader on Saturday. And Saturday was about as good a day for them as possible, because I believe the Rangers also lost that day, and the Angels won both games of that series. But then after the game, you go into the clubhouse, and you see their setup guy, Joe Smith, is on crutches. And he's talking about how he was saying goodbye to the bellman that morning from the team hotel. He thought he was at the bottom of the stairs. He actually had 1 step left. He landed awkwardly on his left ankle. And now he's in a walking boot and on crutches. And, you know, that's a really big part of their bullpen. And, look, there's only at that point, there were only 13, 14 games left. So you think, okay, maybe, you know, for 2 weeks, a team can do without its setup guy. But that's a huge loss for them because of the entire trickle-down effect that causes in the bullpen. And, you know, if you know Joe, you know he's one of the most competitive guys out there, and it's just killing him that he cannot pitch and help this team in the most important time because he fell down some stairs. I'm sure he's embarrassed by it. He talked about how he loves to play basketball and how he's landed on guys' feet countless times and never had an ankle injury. I mean, that's just about as demoralizing as it can get for a team in the position where the Angels are at right now. It just seems like every time they inspire a little bit of hope, they have something that kind of sets them back a little bit. You know, Joe Smith did get an MRI from Houston on Monday, and it confirmed what was pretty much believed, which was that it's a sprain. And you know, Socha hasn't put a timetable on it, and he hasn't even definitively said that Socha, that Joe Smith will not pitch this season. But these things typically take at least, at the very least, 2 weeks. So I would be shocked if we saw Joe Smith again, at least during the regulars.
You know, this is a wonderful finish right now for Seattle. They're 17-10 over the last, you know, fundamentally month. The offense is rolling. Yeah, Felix had the 20 win. If I didn't know any better, I think this is a team that could have won this division.
I think this is what everybody was looking for, Dave, about 4 or 5 months ago, unfortunately. But you like to say better late than never, and I guess there is some reason to want to finish strong. You know, as Kyle Seager said, you know, you want to play good baseball. You know, that's the thing. I mean, whether it's, you know, July, August, September, you want to be playing good baseball. They wanted to, you know, kind of show themselves that this is what they are. And this is the core of the team that will be going forward next year. And they do want to play good baseball here in September and show what they can do. And they've done it against good teams. They're 8-4 this month against the Astros, Rangers, and the Angels. You know, those are the teams they got to beat. They got the best record in the American League in September, 12-6. And you mentioned the offense, and that's certainly big. But a key thing, David, I got to say, the ERA in this month, 2.91, the best in the American League, and that's what they got to do. I mean, they got to have that pitching, that lockdown pitching, and here it is. They're getting that, and they got enough offense to go with that. And voila, you know, you win games when you got that.
Yeah, boy, that's interesting you say that, because admittedly, I'm not in it every day like you, but I'm focused on Cano continuing his tear. Franklin Gutierrez with his run in the second half, which has just been spectacular. Edgar's impact as a hitting coach has turned this offense around. Even some of the young guys like Marte have come up and really contributed. So, I guess I'm very distracted by the long ball, by the home runs. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Cruz yet. I don't know if I'm surprised. I always think of the Mariners as a good pitching team and the staff as a good staff, but that 2.91 ERA certainly jumps out.
And a lot of it's the bullpen, and that bullpen just wasn't what they wanted most of the year. And here in the last month, they really kind of found a combination that clicked with them in the back end with Wilhelmsen in the closer spot and Carson Smith setting him up. And they got Joe Bimel back, which is an important lefty for him. He was hurt for a while there. And Danny Farquhar has come up, been real big, been really the Farquhar that they expected and had for the previous year and a half. He just wasn't that guy early in the season. And as he says, hey, I wish I was, but I'm glad I've found it. He's done some different things and just feels like he's come back. He's down in Tacoma 4 different times this year. And here's a guy who's coming in and giving up a run here and since they brought him back up and been real good. So those are the pieces they need. Certainly their bullpen depth still isn't what you'd hope. When they're on a winning side, they're pretty good at setting up and closing things out. And then that requires having that rotation to pitch well for 6-7 innings and set up with how they want to go. They're pretty thin still. If they're behind, they get in a blowout game, and they kind of go to some of the young kids. They got some young kids coming up and that they've gone to in kind of those losing type situations when they're behind, and that's still been a little rough. But you do see the pieces going forward that they should be able to build around next year, and that's another reason for optimism.
No doubt. In the rotation, though, a couple of guys jump to mind I want to ask you about, but let's start with maybe what would be the simpler answer, and that is with Taijuan Walker. Is there a final decision in yet? I know it seems like he's sort of holding out hope that maybe somehow somebody would let him back out again, but is he done for the year?
I would say yes. Lloyd McClendon says not yet. So Lloyd does have the key on that. It's pretty clear that they would like to shut him down. He's at 170 innings, the most he's ever thrown. He's still 23. They'd like to protect him, but there's not a reason to throw him. They're pretty happy with what he's done and where he's progressed this year with good reason. And with the innings situation and well over what he's ever thrown before, really no need to crunch him out another start or two. But Lloyd kind of leaving that door open in case something happens. You know, I guess if somebody were to get hurt or if they just pulled off a big winning streak here and suddenly said, hey, we got to win a couple more, we might actually be in the playoffs, which is a long, long shot. But he didn't want to shut that door down. He didn't want to tell Taijuan, hey, you know, kid, you're done. Go sit by your locker. You know, Taijuan's out. He's playing catch every day. He's throwing. He's lifting. He's doing his things, saying, you know, hey, I'm ready to go, which is what you want. But they don't want to put that stress on him. So it seems to me he's all but done, but they just haven't, you know, said he is.
Okay. All right. So we'll continue to wait and see. King Felix still has a shot at 20 wins. You know, he's had some weird moments this year, right? Some starts that are very forgettable, and yet here he is. He's still King Felix. How would you characterize this year for him? We're inside the final 2 weeks of the season, and in some ways, maybe it felt like it would never happen. But here we are, and it seems to me like maybe the biggest headline story left for this A's team and A's season is whether or not we're going to see, you know, Barry Zito and Tim Hudson square off in an actual game. Is that it? Is that what we've kind of come down to?
Yeah, and it's kind of amazing that this is what we're talking about, considering how long we talked about the fact that it was unfortunate, you know, that the A's weren't going to bring Zito up. And now that he is here, and there's, you know, it's all this speculation and talk about this potential Tim Hudson versus Barry Zito matchup on Saturday. And I don't think there's been a decision made. Definitely hasn't been an announcement as of yet. Hudson will make the final start of his career. We do know that on Saturday. And then it's really up to the A's to decide if they want to start Zito in that game. And, of course, you know, he's not stretched out to start. That's why he's in the bullpen. But, you know, you figure this time of year, you know, you can send out him out for, you know, one inning, two innings, maybe a third, depending on, you know, how efficient he is. But I think it's something that kind of the fans deserve after a pretty tough season. There really hasn't been much good of the season. You know, there's been bright spots here and there, but not a whole lot to look forward to. And I think this would be a really cool thing, not just for the fans, but for the game, for Zito, for Hudson. I mean, I think it would mean a whole heck of a lot to them. I know Zito said, you know, that would be like out of a storybook, just because, you know, how crazy would it be for, you know, those two, you know, of course, part of the big three in Oakland to make, you know, what could be their final appearances, at least for Hudson, maybe Zito, who knows, you know, back at the Coliseum where it all began for them. And then there's also talk that Mark Mulder could be there. I think he's definitely going to be there, just whether he's going to be a part of it too. They're working on maybe having him throw up the first pitch, so that would really add to it. I mean, it's going to be quite a nostalgic reunion at the Coliseum on Saturday, and I mean, whether Zito starts or not, you know, we don't know. But even if he was to get in the game at some point, you know, when Hudson's pitching, I think it would all be pretty cool. So I know that it's you know, I can just tell already fans are really, really excited. This is kind of all they are talking about now. This is all they want to know about, and understandably so. It's been kind of pretty tumultuous season, and so for this to kind of end this way, you know, this is the A's final homestand, and I think when people looked at the schedule originally and saw that the home schedule was ending with interleague play, you know, you kind of shake your head. You're like, what's going on? This shouldn't be this way. And now you're thinking, you know what, maybe it was meant to be all along for it to work out this way and to have, you know, Zito and Hudson somehow miraculously perhaps on the mound facing each other. So it should be pretty cool.
That'll do it for this week, and it will leave us 1 week to go in the regular season. Thanks so much for listening. MLB.com Extras, American League West Edition.